Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Today, we are recapping Ahsoka, the Jedi, the Witch, and the Warlord, which is totally a ripoff of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's a choice, I guess. But yeah, we're going to be talking about all the spoilers and everything. So if you don't want that, I would get out of here. And I'm here with a guy that I know. Listen, I know you guys wanted a podcast, but today we're just going to like stare off in the distance and raise lightsabers above our heads. It's Tommy Pizzullo.
Michael, I'm here. I will say I almost went on another podcast. The Pod Sisters reached out to me, but they had a lot of rules. You know, I had to give my life, my loyalty. It was a little too much for me. It was a little too dicey.
There's some like glowing swords involved, right?
Well, that was I honestly almost started to walk towards them, and then I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!"
Maybe a glowing podcast mic.
That'd be pretty sick. Maybe it glowed, and then every time you spoke, it like you know, like in cars where it's like the music makes the lights like move. Maybe that's what happens to the microphone.
Yeah, Tommy, this is really weird for us because this is the closest from an episode that we're actually recording the podcast. This is an hour after the episode dropped. We've both watched it. We've immediately come on here. We talked about it before. Like, typically, we're able to absorb some of the buzz. Today, we are the buzz. So, Tommy, I got to know your reactions to the Ahsoka finale. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I really did. I think overall, when we look back at this series, I don't think there's, like, an awful episode. I think there's episodes you're like, okay. But I think overall, I enjoyed the journey. I think I'm very excited where this could lead us in the future. I think that's where I come out of this is like, I feel like I'm less thinking about the episode, which I think was really good. And I really enjoyed the combat. I enjoyed like where it went, but I'm more interested in like what's Baylan up to, what's going to happen with Thrawn and what's going to happen with Ahsoka. Like I'm more just left to like, what is going to happen next in Star Wars? And I think that's a good spot to be in. I think that's what we needed right now to keep that excitement, to keep that buzz for the future of Star Wars, you know, all culminating probably in that big movie that's foreboding in the background.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, there are some like fantastic episodes this season. I mean, all around, we're gonna look back and just absolutely love this show. And there are okay episodes, and I think this for me was an okay episode. And to be fair, I think both of us walked into this fully expecting for some sort of cliffhanger or things to be left open-ended. We got exactly what we were expected. I think things were more open-ended than I thought they would be. I mean, here we are. We get Ahsoka and Sabine stranded on Peridia. We get no dialogue or scene, basically, with Shin and Baylan. It was a lot that I didn't necessarily expect us to end where we did, even though I did expect some open ending.
Yeah, and looking back, I feel like a big thing going in, we were like, this is just a Rebels sequel, and like we're gonna get the band back together. It's so like it'll be funny to listen back to that first podcast on the things we thought that could be down the line, because I feel like in retrospect, people were very critical of that first episode, right? Of like, oh, it's almost too Rebel-y. But I honestly now, because we barely got Rebels throughout, I think that's okay. And I think this was, I agree with your, like, this episode was okay. It left a lot open-ended for me. I think I knew, I had a feeling, especially towards the middle, that like either Ahsoka or Sabine or both were probably going to be left behind because we still had the Baylan of it all. Like none of them could all make it out because then no one's dealing with Baylan on this planet.
Well, I guess that's where I was like, you know, I thought Baylan would wrap into the plot a little bit more. I kind of thought he might go try to sabotage Thrawn, you know, and then maybe that would, you know, I don't want to say hopefully because I love Baylan, but also I want the story wrapped up. But like, hopefully the Baylan story would close out in some way. So I don't know. I think first and foremost, Tommy, this episode is going to be everywhere because I didn't take notes, right? Typically, I watch the episode and then I rewatch it for notes. I did not do that. So,
We're all raw here. We're raw. Like my emotions are raw. I haven't even got my thoughts put together. I literally just got out of the episode and Michael was like, here's the link. So yeah, I think that's okay that we're going to be sporadic.
Well, let's go ahead, since we mentioned him a couple times. I want to talk on Baylan here a little bit. And I realize it's funny that we're going to like the most minor part of the episode. But for me, it feels a little big because I think the big question for me, the first couple podcasts we did was like, how are they going to wrap up Baylan's story? How is this going to go with the passing of Ray Stevenson? And we get much ado about nothing here. I mean, there is some interesting stuff that you might be able to draw from the fact that he went to like this old, it seems some sort, maybe a Jedi statue of some sort. Which
was that father? I thought, you know, remember the Rebels episode with the father, the mother, or the sister and the brother? I thought maybe that was father, is my only guess.
Yeah. And actually, you know, again, like this is something I would have looked up by now, but I don't, I would guess that this does tie into Mortis of some sort. So it is a possibility. And Khalil on the last podcast also brought up the possibility of Baylan like searching for the origins of the Force, which seems like maybe that's might be where they were going with this. But now I don't know where we go in season two or a movie. I'm a little sad about it.
Yeah, it's really upsetting in the way that, like, I love Baylan. I really think there was a lot of potential for this character. It's very sad what happened now in retrospect of, like, man, it wasn't just a one season. He was going to be something, either season two or a spinoff. But I definitely was intrigued by the storyline. So it's unfortunate, but what do you think, I guess the question now is, what do you think they do? Do they just kind of write it out or do they recast?
It's hard to imagine a recasting. It feels so soon, right? Like, I feel like at this point now with, you know, Carrie Fisher, like now we could start talking about, you know, recastings or whatever. It feels really soon to be like, okay, let's just replace this guy. Like, he's completely replaceable. So I feel like they're going to find a way to be like, you know, maybe Shin finds his body. I don't know. You know, we're going to come back and something is going to have happened.
It's just upsetting because I was so intrigued with the storyline that it's like, there's a part of me that's like, no, I want to see it complete, but it does. I do respect when they're like, no, we're not going to recast these characters. You know, you look at Black Panther and they had to adapt their story and rewrite it with what happened with Chadwick. And I feel like maybe you pass the mantle to Shin. Like you're saying something happens, he dies, and then his mission becomes her mission.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, and I just, you know, again, I want to talk about the actual episode here, but like the speculation of it all, like I'm still in that mode after coming out of this episode. Like, what, like a Sabine and Ahsoka on this planet? Like, how did they get out? I mean, I guess the easy answer is to say they're going to summon Pergil again and just fly back, but that seems too simple for what's going on here. Are we just going to like return and there's going to be, because we speculated, Tommy, that Shin and Baylan would team up with the Raiders and they would turn up with the crab people and there would be like a little civil war on this planet.
Yeah,
but I just can't imagine that's where we're gonna pick up with these. I don't know. I'm everywhere, Tommy.
I feel like we do get a civil war at some point because it looks like, yeah, one's joining the bandits and one's joining the crab people. Like, that's what it looks like. Yeah, I think either it gets solved in a spin in like another series, it gets solved in season two, or it's left hanging until the movies. I have a feeling something's coming. I'm a little disappointed, I think. I think this is the thing I'm disappointed in. They wanted that moment of Sabine showing back up for Ahsoka and that to be such a surprise. But I wanted an emotional moment from Ezra. Because the whole series, like, there was two big, I feel like, themes. The mentor-mentee relationship, which I think they really nailed at the end of this. I think they really pushed that, and that was the focus. But then they pushed this whole, like, Ezra and Sabine and how much this meant to her. And I feel like they wrapped up by being like, we gotta just let it go. But like, is Ezra gonna let it go? And it just kind of felt like he did. He's like, all right, peace, I'm going back home. See you later.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we see that moment of him fighting for it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we eventually see the fact that he like steals a ship and comes back and meets up with Hera. You know, very easily could have taken that ship and just gone to meet Sabine and Ahsoka. Maybe he really was just over it. I don't know. It does feel like this is going to be, whether, again, I have no idea if there's going to be a season two or not, but it seems like it's going to be like a constant struggle between Ezra and Sabine, where they're kind of like ships passing in the night, where like, right when they're able to get back together, they're separated again. And I feel like this might be a thing that's a constant in this relationship for the rest of we see them, I guess.
Yeah. It could have just even been as easy as like as he's on the ship and he's killing the clones and he's like throwing them off, and then just looking back and being like, Sabine, like just something where it's like he doesn't agree with the decision that was made. Something there. I don't know. I just needed that. That's just my opinion on it. Yeah. I just want to see the band back together again, Michael.
Yeah. And guess what? Here's another thing. We didn't get Zeb.
No, and I really think that's why they threw him into Mando now, just because they knew people were going to criticize not seeing him. And they're like, all right, we'll give him here. You've seen him. He's out there. He's doing his thing. Don't worry about Zeb.
Yeah, it was one of the two. Either he's definitely there. They've set up for him to show up at Ahsoka, or they're like apologizing. So I think It was an apology.
Listen, well, I think it will come. I have a feeling that the reason they're holding off and the reason we have them passing in the night, like you say, is because I think it's supposed to be this big moment, probably in the movie, where you do get the band back together. And why waste that for Ahsoka season one?
Yeah, fair point. Tommy, I want to ask about Morgan, the rise and fall of Morgan in this episode. I mean, she was like promoted to a great mother and she got the Talzin sword. And then, Ahsoka kills her kind of unceremoniously.
Yeah, I think you could have left her alive on the planet. Like maybe severely like damaged, maybe like, I don't think, you know, I guess she was just like a one-off villain. They put more stock in Baylan and Chin, but I liked her. I thought she definitely did her purpose in the show. Like, I think she was definitely an antagonist where I've seen other antagonists, I'd be like, she was fun, but I feel like this ending was a little, I guess, like we're supposed to be like, well, she did it all for Dathomir and that was her whole goal all along. So at least she got her goal and she's happy dying.
Yeah, and I kind of get it where, like, well, number one, I feel like there had to be some sort of villain death. I thought it might come in the form of Baylan. But we were, like, really bloated on villains as far as Thrawn, Enoch, the four Night Sisters, and then the two mercenaries. Like, it was getting a lot.
Zombie clone trooper. Yeah, like, all of them.
Yeah, so. What about some of, like, the fights? Did you like her sword?
I did like the sword. I am a big Night Sister person. I love their magic. I loved the green like flames coming off of it or whatever it is. And I'm excited because it feels like the big point of how focused the Night Sisters were in the show is they're back, baby. The Night Sisters are back. They're back in our world. Now we can Filoni can play with that sandbox. He brought that back, so now he can use them again. And I'm enjoying that. I think that will be something very fun for the future because they're the people I'm most intrigued. Like I've said before, like they just intrigue me so much.
Yeah, and when you see, I bring this up probably every week now, but in the Jedi Survivor game, Maren, I mean, she's more powerful than a Jedi. I mean, they have like really incredible powers, and it's like, you know, for the longest time, it's like, oh, Jedi are the most powerful thing in the universe. And now we get these witches and it's like, it's something different.
What do you think is more likely? We get Maren in a movie or TV show, or they somehow, like the next video game that they're in, they somehow reference the Night Sisters being back, like the great mothers or whatever coming back, and it'll be like somewhat of a plot point in the video game.
I mean, I feel like I've been beating this drum for a while. I feel like Maren and Cal, like, just pencil them in ASAP. And I bet it's going to be the movie, but I mean, it makes so much sense. I mean, they didn't like recreate their faces in the video games for nothing. So I'm putting my money on that.
Is the movie just going to become like a family reunion, like cameos galore? Just like who?
I think it's the end game. It's end game.
And then they'll come back, and then they'll have Slaying the Conqueror. I couldn't think of something better. The Conqueror.
Sidious the Conqueror? I don't know.
Yeah, who travels between galaxies, taking over the galaxies one at a time.
Yep. There it is. We cracked the code. Tommy, another interesting scene here that I really liked was we kind of get a nod to Kanan in the form of Ezra's new lightsaber.
Yeah, I liked the lightsaber scene. I liked Huang, which we didn't see him at the end, but he's there, right? Like, he's definitely still with them. Yeah. Like, okay,
I think he's in the ship, yeah. Well, I guess. I hope.
That's what I hope.
We didn't see him, but yeah.
He wasn't allowed to look off into the sunset with them. They just were like, sorry, man, this is our moment. But yeah, I like that moment. I liked like him being like, oh yeah, like I trained your master. And again, like the big thing with this is everyone's master is the family arc of master to apprentice and what that means. And so getting that part and getting him building his lightsaber, I would have liked to see Sabine also build her own lightsaber in that moment. Because again, it's just a hand-me-down lightsaber. I want her to have her own.
Yeah, it felt like, you know, Sabine has been there on the ship. She knows Hu Yang. She knows, you know, like, it felt like pretty easy to be like, hey, this one's yours. Let me build mine now. So it's kind of a weird choice, but...
Also, did they just have, and maybe I missed this, did they just have, like, extra crystals just lying around, or, like, did he have that, or...
I don't think they mentioned the crystal. I assume, yeah, there must be a loose crystal aboard.
Because it's so easy to get crystals these days. You don't have to do the old trials.
Nope. Hu Yang's just got a stash of them, so... It's like in Loki when the dude opens the drawer and he's just got like the Infinity Stones. Oh, these are like paperweights.
Hu Yang's like, people have been wanting these. I've just been having them in my pocket this whole time.
Yeah, so we'd love to see that. Let's see what else here. Tommy, what about we speculated on it a lot, but we get the zombie night troopers, I believe they called them.
Yep, I love the night troopers. I really hope like Thrawn's army becomes such a big thing. I think we know Thrawn's gonna be such a presence on this show, his whole army, the Night Sisters. This is what they needed. And what Star Wars did well with having Thrawn maybe be like the new big bad is they set it up well, and he's been around for a while, as opposed to like when the First Order came, it was just like, all right, here's the First Order, here you go. And this is why I think this third arc of the Star Wars timeline, the highs and lows, and we're going back to the dark side. I think Thrawn is such a good pinnacle of that. And with these night troopers, I think we're almost going back in a way, because we're going back to the stormtrooper night troopers, but I'm okay with it.
Well, what was a surprise to me is, well, I mean, I was constantly speculating that the night troopers were already zombies, but it appears that maybe they weren't and they got killed and then they became zombies.
Yeah, I guess I thought that, which is, I thought they came with, because were there troopers on the ship with Ezra and Thrawn?
I don't think we know, but I think we can assume that there were. Yeah.
So that's my thought. And my thought is they all died. And yeah. Then he's like, hey, Night Sisters, I have some bodies for you. You want to make an army for me?
But the thing was, like, when they got reanimated the second time, their eyes were like glowing, and their eyes were never glowing before. So I was like, I don't know. Yeah. I was just, I guess it's a little ticky tack on my part, but.
We need some info on these night troopers. What are their stats? What's their attack percentage? You know, what's their defense? We need all the stats on them.
Yeah, for sure. We need the whole character sheet, please.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get a lot of like action. You know, I feel like, I don't know how much we can say on it, but I just gotta say, like, for all of like the Mandalorian stuff and the Andor stuff, which is great and we appreciate. How cool was it to just see three Jedis on screen just tearing it up?
I was thinking that when they were like running through the temple, I'm like, man, it's so cool to see multiple Jedis in one place again. Like, I miss that.
Yeah. And even like in, I guess we got it in the prequels a little bit, but like, I don't know, just to this scale, it felt different and it felt cooler to me.
This felt epic. As a TV show, this could have been, truthfully, put them all together, this could have been a movie. Like, I felt the epicness. I really did. And like, as much as it was an okay episode, I didn't feel the urgency. I felt this, like, and it part of it is Thrawn of it all. Like, it's like he made this, like, he felt menacing. It felt like a threat. It felt like if he gets off this planet, we're in doomsday world.
Yeah, so... Another plot point I wanted to touch on was we finally, and you know what, I kind of felt like this was anticlimactic, but we finally see Sabine use the Force in a very interesting way to help Ezra jump to the Star Destroyer. What did you think about this?
I'm glad we got the moment. Like, I'm glad she got to use it. I'm glad that became a thing. Do I wish we got our, she pulled a bowl and it hits Thrawn in the head moment? Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been iconic. But this was fun. I think it showed, and obviously when this was happening, I'm like, well, of course Sabine's staying back for Ahsoka at this point. I'm like, the minute she's pushing Ezra over, I'm like, she is not just going to go jump on that ship.
Yeah, I just felt like, I don't know, like the whole time it was all about, like, you know, trying to pull something towards her, and then like the idea that instead she's pushing something away from her. It just, and also like there was a lot of confidence, unfounded confidence, you might say, in Sabine's ability to actually do this. Like, yeah. I think there was some hesitation, but like she's never used the Force before.
Well, she did it with the lightsaber first, though. So maybe that's like she got the, she, when the zombie had her against the wall, and then she used the Force to pull the lightsaber up. So I think it was like, oh, I can do it because I did it once now. Now I feel like I can do it.
I did miss that, actually. So
yeah. But for even me, still, I don't know if I'd feel that confident after just doing it one time in a life or death situation.
It was quite the jump, too. So
yeah.
Tommy, are you distracted by my cat jumping?
I am. Well, and it was funny because you were talking about jumping.
I don't know what's not into him. He's usually chill.
Your cat might have Force powers, is what I'm trying to say.
Those are some Jedi jumps.
Yeah.
That's one for the visual viewers only. So
yeah, but if she didn't do it with the lightsaber, I was gonna say that maybe that's the key. She can't pull things close. Maybe she only has the power that lets you push things away, but not the one that lets you pull it in. But yeah. She did do it with the lightsaber. Yeah, I thought it was fun though. I'm trying to think what else was in the episode.
We kind of touched on it, but you know, just kind of skipping past a lot of the fighting stuff. You know, Morgan dies. Touch on that. Yeah. We get this weird, it's just still so weird to me that we just get like non-audible shots of Shin and Baylan here at the end. I wanted more. These were like my favorite parts, like honestly, probably my favorite parts of the series. I love both of these characters and we get nothing from them.
Yeah. And I think this is the problem of like too many cooks at the end, too many antagonists at the end, like you were saying, where it's like, we spent so much time with them in the beginning because there was only three people there. And then now Shin and Baylan really had to take a back seat because Thrawn's in the big daddy seat. Big daddy Thrawn.
Yeah, I guess.
What did you think about Thrawn? Again, like the he's back.
And I guess this is my next point is like, what did we really sacrifice Shin and Baylan for? Because here's my hot take. Did we get a whole lot from Thrawn? I mean, yeah, he was kind of like walking around menacingly and having plans and stuff, but like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there needed to be a scene between him and a hero or something. I don't know. It just, there was a confrontation I was missing there.
Yeah. Well, I felt like the intercom at the end was that smugness of like, I felt like this felt like Thrawn to me. And like, there's a couple of things he did that just felt like classic Thrawn. The like, it made sense now him like reading the plan about Skywalker and being like, I knew what you were going to do. I still don't know what he knew that she was going to do. Like, I knew you were going to show up in my temple and never give up. Is that like, but the idea is interesting at least that he like is thinking of the strategy and the willingness to sacrifice people. Like him being like, sorry, Mor, you got to go. Like you know, the night troopers couldn't do it. You gotta stay behind. And then no mercy from him. And then also just, yeah, the smugness in that intercom of just being like, hey, I'm sorry we never met. He's just like almost he loves it. He loves the battle. He loves the chase. It's I don't know. Maybe I might just have a crush on Thrawn and maybe I'm giving him way too much credit. There's something about him and the actor that plays him that just is one of my favorite antagonists of all time because it is this cool, calm and collected attitude mixed with just like it always feels like he is one step ahead of you.
Yeah, and I don't want to come off as a hater because, again, I think the adaptation of this character was fantastic. I think the actor's great. There's nothing about this character that's not believable to me, especially already knowing Thrawn. So that is not my... I just wanted more. I think that's my problem. That's the unfortunate part of this show being a setup to something else is that we're not going to get everything we want.
Yeah, in an ideal world, I would take the whole season of Thrawn. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It's like either give us more Thrawn or less. They almost gave us a little, like it was like a murky middle where it's like you gave us too much of a taste where now I'm like, okay, but where's the second spoonful?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. They end up, I guess we never get confirmation of where they're going until they show up at Dothamir, which I guess is that's their home. That's going to be their home base.
Yeah. I mean, well, what other plans do you think would have been fun for them to show here?
I mean, I kind of expected them to just pull up at Coruscant or something and just roll in and, like, you know, just shoot up the
set. That would have been.
I don't know. I guess they didn't have enough people, but.
That would have been cool if that ship, like, and I love the shot of the circle over top of the planet circle. I thought that, and that would have been, if it was the planet, I think that would have been cool too. I think Darth Amir makes sense, especially with the Night Sister tie-in. I think Mustafar would have been fun too. Like, he takes over, but isn't it like all grassy now and all nice now? Isn't it not lobby anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not actually sure. But yeah, that, I guess
I feel like that was cool. A thing in the last movie, and I was like, what's happening here? Why?
Yeah. So yeah, I guess Dathomir makes the most sense. I guess I just always, again, I brought this up in the past where I felt like Thrawn was using the Night Sisters as a pawn a little bit. And now it's starting to seem like they might be more hand in hand than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he had to. It's like, and we'll see how long that relationship lasts, and that would be interesting. The thing that I also was not thrown off, but like, it is a Thrawn characteristic. I feel like he never sees himself as the head honcho. Like, he's always like, I'm doing this for the Emperor. And even now, like, I'm intrigued to see what happens, because it feels like everyone back in our galaxy, in this main galaxy, was like, Thrawn's going to be our leader. Like, we are bringing him back to lead us to be this powerful force. Someone's got to update him on what happened with the Empire, because I don't think he knows that, like, he's really the only guy to really do it now.
Yeah, he's a bit of a lone. So, what about, so we also mentioned this briefly, but the reunion of Hera and Ezra, this was nice.
I like this. I thought this was a very... Sorry, Siri, sorry, talk to me, we can cut. I thought it was very true to the characters. Chopper coming in first, trusting that it was Ezra without, I thought that was so good, so on point, that Chopper would be able to know that was Ezra first. And I thought that the lines, the way he delivered it, was such Ezra, like, hi Hera, I'm home. Like, it just felt like that, the animated character that I remember loving. And so it definitely got me a little, like, I felt the hair stand up a little bit, being like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of nitpicked the reunion of Sabine and Ezra, where I was like, you know, this is kind of a miracle and you're not really acting like it's a miracle. I felt like Hera had the right reaction here. Like, Hera was speechless.
Yeah, Hera's got to give them some lessons, because, yeah, she had it was shock. It was like, is this actually happening? It's probably just, we're saying the characters, but maybe we're critiquing the actors. That she's doing a way better job of looking shocked there.
Yeah, so. So the final thing we get here is Ahsoka and Sabine stranded on Peridia. And, you know, they're kind of, Ahsoka mentions, like, this is where we belong, right? Ezra is where he belongs and where we need to belong. Is that true? I don't know.
I think so. There was a quick scene, and I don't remember if this was here or quickly before, and then they cut to the hair, was the owl, her like symbol, her like very much like whenever Ahsoka, I feel like, needs faith, the owl shows up. And I feel like that could be the reason that she's like, hey, this is where we're supposed to be, because she got that symbol for her of like, this is the right choice. This is what I was supposed to do.
They just don't know why yet, I guess.
Yeah.
So. And also we get a moment here. And at this point, I'm kind of at the point where I'm like, okay, we're just using Hayden Christensen because we like him and people want him there. But yeah, we get a Force Ghost Hayden.
Yeah, yeah. And it was cool that it was Sabine that like felt him first. Again, that line of like master to apprentice's apprentice.
Yeah. What was the quote? She said it was like she was seeing shadows in the light. And
yeah.
I feel like that's a good way to describe Anakin.
Yeah.
So I didn't even really put that together until you just said it, but
no, I liked it though. I mean, I am with you though. Like, it's like, don't keep reusing the same. It becomes less special the more they do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. But he's going to be in every Star Wars thing from now on. So
yeah.
Till the end of time. Till we get the what if episode where Anakin actually stayed good.
I would love a Star Wars what if.
I don't think this is the first time we talked about it. I mean, there's
I know, and I'm getting excited. Well, the thing with I don't know if we discussed this. This is a little sidetrack, but with Hayden, I believe my friend Jason sent this to me about like way back. He was doing like he ended up doing stunt stuff for one of the video games, and like the way they describe him was like he knows Darth Vader and Anakin and cares about that character so much. Where it's like when he was in there, he was like, at this point in Anakin's life, he'd be probably walking more because it's just boring to him. It's not fun anymore. And like, man, I am glad that they're continuing to use this actor if that's how he feels about his character. That he truly immerses himself in it, thinking about it from all angles, even in a thing like just doing motion capture for a video game, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. That's great. Well, I did want to ask about you mentioning the video games. Did you play Jedi Survivor? I forget.
That's the newest one, right?
Yeah, the newest one.
No, I played the other one, but I don't have the newest PS, so I have to wait for a second.
I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll be careful with what I say. But the ending of that game, I feel like it would make a lot of sense that they possibly cross paths with Ahsoka and Sabine here, which I realize you have no context to what I'm saying, but just wanted to put it out in the universe. I think that this is where it could happen.
I would be very happy for that to happen, mostly for you, because I know how much you want it. It's like
it's all I mentioned it like 3 times every podcast. So it's a matter of time. Yeah. Tommy, what else? Did I skip over anything? Any other tidbits?
No, I think that's mainly it. Like I said, it was a good episode, and I'll take an episode where I'm not like blown out of my seat over like the episodes where I'm like, why am I even watching this? Where I'm like watching the time. I wasn't watching the time. I enjoyed the fights. I enjoyed what they set up. I love that there's consequences. I love that it wasn't just like everyone, as much as I'm like, I wanted the family reunion. I will say it would have been too cute if all of them made it on the ship and it's like, yay.
Yeah, for sure.
I was worried we were going to lose Hugh. I thought if they do that, I thought we were going to lose Hugh Wang and then the other three get onto the ship.
Ugh, that would be ugly. Yeah, that it would make sense for him to be like the sacrificial lamb.
Well, he was trying to do it himself. He's like, you can just leave me behind. I'm like, all right, Hewing, like, calm down.
You can come.
Yeah.
So any predictions for the future of these characters?
Oh man,
you always have very specific predictions.
I know, but they left it so open-ended that it's so hard to know. I feel like I don't think we're going to get all these storylines in one season. I think it's going to be probably some spin-off shows or spin-off movies for some of this stuff. I think Ezra and Thrawn is going to be the big show. I think that's going to be something big that they do there. And I think that's why they separate them out is you got him and Hera probably going to try to tackle the Thrawn problem using the Senate there. Ahsoka and Sabine going to handle the Shin Baylan problem. And then eventually they come back together.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we're doing an Ahsoka season 2, I wouldn't mind the entire show being about Sabine and Ahsoka. You know, I don't think we need Ezra or Thrawn again until the movie.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think splitting between the two will be too much. That I think just focus on one and do the Ezra stuff later.
And one thing I think we keep forgetting is this show is called Ahsoka. So yeah. Feel like if we get maybe a season 2, we could like really hone in on that. I don't know. Maybe that's crazy.
Is that a giveaway? Should shows stop just calling their show after the main character?
Yeah. I mean, I think they go for it because like, you know, even if you don't watch Clone Wars or Rebels, you've heard of Ahsoka. So they're going for that like name brand. Like, you know, this character, even if you don't watch the thing. Maybe they could just, I guess Rebels too, you know, I don't know about that, but you know, can we workshop it? Is there a better name for this show?
Man, Rebels 2, Electric Ahsoka, she's back. Are we in the ballpark?
I think we're somewhere. Yeah. How about this? Ghost Crew. It's the name of all these characters, their crew, And I realize they don't all come back together, but, you know, when we have that side episode with Sabeam or Ezra or whatever, when we step away from Ahsoka, at least we can say, oh, it's still the Ghost Crew.
I do like that. If they ever do, like, after all this, the Rebels crew do get back together, I think that is, like, a perfect name for a show. It's just either Ghost or Ghost Crew, something like that. Yeah. But get away from the naming characters, the show after the characters. You should have learned your lesson after the infamous Book of Boba Fett, where you name it after the character and you spend almost very little time actually doing anything with said character.
Andor did a pretty good job with it, though. I felt like Andor
was
very much about Andor. Yeah. It might be the template.
Yeah, I think Andor is so far with Andor and Ahsoka, I think those are I'd have to look at the ranking and remember some of these shows. I think those are the top Star Wars shows so far for me.
Yeah, I want Kenobi up there somewhere. But,
yeah.
I think I'm with you.
I think Kenobi would be like 3 for me. It'd be like those two. I'd have to think about it. I remember there were things about Kenobi that I was like, what are we doing? We're introducing Ice Cube's son, who really has no part, and I don't know why he's here.
Yeah, I believe Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers was in that show too, so yeah. I don't know. There's a lot going on there. Okay, Tommy, what about... I know we're always hard pressed for the recommendations, but yeah. I got to do it this week because I do have a great one. But I'll throw it to you first. Is there anything you've done?
No. I finished Fiona and Cake that I mentioned on here. This is more of like, I guess I'll do a little mini updates on shows I have recommended. Mm-hmm. Fiona and Cake, great, loved it. If you watch it, Adventure Time, you'll love it. I would recommend people probably watch Adventure Time first. Don't just jump into Fiona and Cake. Lots of references to the show and a lot of payoff from storylines in the show. But you could watch it on its own, and it's a solid show. And then I'm just in One Piece land, man. I'm in the anime now. I transitioned from the live. I know. It's 1,000 episodes.
Toppy, you're never gonna have a recommendation for another year.
I know but it's real good.
Okay. What about this, Tommy? Have you watched Gen V?
I've heard of it, but I have not watched it.
Yeah, it's the Boys spinoff show, which follows superheroes that go to college at a superhero college. And I gotta say, really enjoying it. 3 episodes out so far. That's my recommendation. If you're into The Boys, even if you're not, I think you could still watch it. It's pretty good.
Have we talked about this? I have not watched The Boys.
You've never watched The Boys.
So this is the thing. I watched the first episode and it made me real sad. There was a lot of bad things that happened in that first episode and uncomfortable things. It just made me feel real sad in life. And I went, why am I doing this to myself? And so then I just never watched it.
I feel like there are a lot of sad stuff, but it's also, especially Gen V, a little bit leans in. I don't know. It's always a little dark, but it's almost like Gen V feels like a live action adult animation show. You know, like it's almost like it's like Harley Quinn in live action, right? There's some like, you know, kind of like graphic yet funny things going on. So
I've heard adult X-Men.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I Sky High, maybe a better comparison. But
weren't they supposed to make a Sky High sequel? Wasn't that a thing floating around there for a little bit?
I don't know. To be honest, I actually never watched Sky High. I just know it.
Oh. You should. It's a fun homage.
I probably did watch it. I just don't remember it.
Yeah. It's definitely. I feel like I watched it recently and it's very 2000s. Like, it's ooh.
Yes.
How's your My Hero watch? I'm assuming you've watched so many.
I've actually
episodes.
Just finished season 5. It's incredible.
Yeah.
We'll put that's a pin on that.
The pin's there. I just gotta check in, you know.
Yeah.
No judgment, but the check-ins are coming.
it's on the watch list, so.
Okay, good.
Tommy, you know what's next? Loki season 2.
Well, you gotta keep it low key though.
Oh, sorry.
Keep it low key. Loki's coming. I'm excited. I've heard some things. I'm trying not to let it influence me, but I'm excited.
Yeah, some interesting, you know, murmurs out there about reviews and whatnot, but
yeah,
we're gonna have fun with it. Here's the great thing. like, I, Tommy, of course, you know, I love pulling the sound clips.
On the object, no. However, I have several thoughts on everything else going on.
And here's the thing. Star Wars is not really built for the sound. Like, there were not, like, every episode I'm, like, looking for the sound clip. And there are none. But I'm ready to get back into some Marvel where, like, there's always kooky things going on. And at the very least, we're going to walk out of something like,
That's right. There's only one Megan Thee Stallion.
Some, it's going to be, there's something to chew on.
I think She-Hulk was the pinnacle of, sound bites. Like, I think not the pinnacle shows. Yeah, but the pinnacle, I don't think we're going to beat a show that gave us as much content when it came to sound bites as She-Hulk.
You know what? Apologize to my Prius Prime with money.
Yeah, there's a...
It's not where you think. That's my favorite one.
It's not where you think.
Yeah, we're going back to Marvel, okay? It's time to transition. Here we go.
Here we go. Should we do a sound, you know, like a sound bite year, like, competition at some point?
Where it's, I think, what's the end of the year would sound... be. Yeah, I think I would love to. I got to get better at just playing them in the podcast, though.
So. Was She-Hulk this year? It feels like a long time ago.
I think it was.
Like, it's, for a second, this is, hey, we probably lost. Hey, listeners that left, see you later. Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Ms. Marvel feels like they are recent, but I'm pretty confident those are, like, so long ago now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, She-Hulk was, I don't know, Tommy. I can't.
No, I don't know either, but
don't know. we'll let you look that one up. Here, let's see. I here's another one.
Goodbye, tragedy.
Or what about?
Oh, yo, what's going on, my party people?
We really thought
it goes on for a while.
We really thought Chad was going to be a thing. That's something I would be interested in going back and listening to old podcasts and doing like a one podcast with the full season and what we and like recapping, being like, what did we think was going to happen? What actually happened and how wrong were we?
Yeah, at least the first episode of each show. Yeah.
Yeah. It was August 2022.
Okay.
So we're about a year and some change.
Okay. Well, everyone, hang on to the soundbite tournament. We'll do that. But Tommy, what else? We done?
I think that's it. I think so.
We'll see you shortly for Loki, everybody. Yeah. High key on the low key.
I'm excited. I wonder, are you going to go watch season one again?
Before? Nah. Maybe a recap.
Yeah, I would watch like
our
summary.
Finale podcast, I think, is the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I haven't had the itch to rewatch any of these Marvel shows besides Hawkeye. I've been itching to watch that. I have rewatched some of it, but not all.
I would rewatch WandaVision.
Okay, that's a good one. I feel like I got to wait like 10 years, but like I've really got to like forget about it before I can do it again.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's becoming harder and harder because I feel like they're making so many that I'm not getting time.
I can't even remember what shows came. Like Falcon and the Winter Soldier was a thing, Tommy.
Why?
All right, we will close it out on that note. I'd like to remind you guys.
I love the characters. I just didn't like the show. Okay, sorry.
I don't think it's a hot take, Tommy.
Okay, good.
You're safe.
Phew.
I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every week with Loki coverage now. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And we also have a Discord community going on, so if that's something you're interested in, we will get you in there. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.